And as others look at this assembly, and as they look at your life, my prayer is that they will see the kingdom of heaven and how it is being realized here among us. The proof of the pudding, dear sisters and brothers, is in the eating.
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, December 15th, 2019. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a Reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 at the corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. And now, here's this week's sermon from Pastor Keith Fry.
I don't know about you, but there are some words and phrases that people misuse that just grate on my ears. Maybe the former editor in me, but sometimes I want to say, along with Inigo Montoya and The Princess Bride, that word you just used, I do not think it means what you think it means. Certain words and expressions are just bugaboos for me. One has to do with proof and pudding. Most people nowadays will say the proof is in the pudding, but that is not the expression. The expression is the proof of the pudding is in the eating. In other words, you can't really tell whether something is good or not until you experience it, until you taste it for yourself. You can form an opinion of someone or something, but the way you really know what they are or who they are is by directly experiencing what they do. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Jesus formulates this in a slightly different way. He says, "You shall know them by their fruit." In today's gospel reading, John the Baptizer, whom we saw last week out in the wilderness preaching and baptizing the crowds who came out to see him, has now been thrown into prison for publicly criticizing the head of the government, King Herod, for the outrageous and scandalous things he has been doing, including marrying his brother's wife. And this will very soon end up costing John his head. As John waits there in a dark prison, though, he keeps getting reports of the amazing things that his cousin Jesus is doing. John's disciples come to visit him in his cell, and he sends them back to Jesus with a question. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Now, John, like Moses, has been leading the people, and if you look at the imagery, they've gathered on the other side of the Jordan in the wilderness, just as the children of Israel did, waiting to move into the promised land. But John realizes that he will not be crossing into this promised kingdom of God with them, because he realizes that he is at the end of his ministry. Now it's time for a new leader, Joshua, to take over and lead them into this land that is flowing with milk and honey. Is John doubting that Jesus, and quick excursion, Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, is exactly the same name as Joshua in Hebrew. But is he doubting that Jesus is the one who is to come and lead the people into this kingdom of wholeness and peace? Maybe. Or maybe the stress of being arrested and cast into prison has made John doubt himself, made him doubt his certainty about this coming kingdom. Or maybe he's wanting his followers simply to hear it for themselves. Maybe by sending them to Jesus, he's wanting to point them toward Jesus and not toward himself. But one way or the other, he sends them with that question: are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Now, Jesus' answer, like so many of Jesus' answers, is not direct. Instead, he tells them to go back to John and to report to him what they have seen and heard Jesus doing. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. In other words, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If you want proof that the kingdom of heaven is drawn near and is breaking in on us, you have only to look at the things that people are experiencing. Now, that list is picked up directly from the prophet Isaiah, who announces the signs of what the restored creation is going to be like. Isaiah has laid out the signs of what life will be like when the Messiah, the Anointed One, arrives. And we've been hearing these things for weeks now. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. So when Jesus recites this list of things that are going on because of his ministry and his actions, he's saying loud and clear to John, here's your proof that I'm the one who has been promised. Because these things are happening before your eyes and in your own hearing. It also tells us that these are the things that Jesus considers to be important. These are his metrics for measuring whether the kingdom of heaven is in fact arriving among us. These are Jesus's proofs of the pudding. Now, in the church today, we have become obsessed with proving our relevance to the world. But we use a different metric. We use one that some have called nickels and noses. In other words, for many, counting how many members we have or how much money we are collecting each year for our budget has become the indicator of whether a congregation is successful or not, and indeed, whether the church at large is successful. We fret that membership is down across the wider church. We worry that we won't be able to make our budgets. But it seems that Jesus has an entirely different metric for measuring success. When Jesus is asked for proof of his validity, he points not to how many people are following him, but instead he points to the outcomes. He points to how people's lives are being affected by the good news that he is both announcing and doing. And he tells them, go tell John what you see. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. So what if I were to say to you today, go tell your friends what you see going on here in this ministry that we call Emmanuel Lutheran Church. What would you say? When you say to your friends, come and see, what is it that you will point to? We're coming up to an annual congregational meeting next month, and we'll report attendance figures for the year. How many people joined, or how many left, how many were baptized, how many died. We'll report how much money we've given to support the work of this ministry. But it seems to me that maybe we're reporting the wrong things. Another pastor said to one of our bishops, "What if instead of reporting attendance and giving, noses and nickels, we reported outcomes? Hungry fed, naked clothed, homeless housed, strangers welcomed, immigrants taken in, sick cared for, prisoners visited." Another way to ask that is, what good news are we announcing and doing for the poor? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. There's a group of leaders in this assembly who've been assigned the task of refining a statement that sums up who and what Emmanuel is as a body of believers as we look toward what the mission is that God is calling us to next. We've been asked to state what it is that we value as an assembly and how it is that we act in response to those values. And as we've wrestled with those questions, we've laid out a whole lot of things that we value, and a number of things, important things, that are the concrete ways that we act in keeping with those values. As we look at who we are and what we value, I think we need to keep looking at the metric that Jesus set. That metric has nothing to do with buildings or stained glass windows or the number of members or the amounts of money at our disposal. It has everything to do with the question that Jesus asks. Are we doing things that bear the fruits of justice and righteousness and peace? Are we announcing good news to the poor? Are the blind seeing, the deaf hearing good news for them? Are we working to restore the goodness of creation? Are we being faithful to the mission that Jesus himself announced? Are we bearing good fruit? That is the measure that is set for us. And as we choose leaders to take us into the future that God is calling us into, we need to ask ourselves constantly, who are the people who have caught or can catch this vision of the world as it shall be? Who has this understanding of Jesus' values and can keep guiding us to live them out? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. And you, dear sister or brother, are you bearing fruit? The kingdom of heaven is no spectator sport. It is not an intellectual or spiritual exercise to be done sitting still. The kingdom of heaven is an active engagement with the world. An active living out of those things that we know God values. This God who gives justice to those who are oppressed, who gives food to those who hunger, who sets the captive free, who opens the eyes of the blind, who lifts up those who are bowed down, who cares for the immigrant and the stranger, who sustains the orphan and the widow, who stands in the way and frustrates those who would do evil. What is the role that God is calling you to play, both in announcing and in doing good news in this world, here in this place, and in the spheres that you journey in the course of your daily life? How are you being called to live out the things that God values? Sometimes we stop and wonder, is this kingdom of heaven for real? Is God really working to restore and renew all that has been made? And those are the moments, and Advent is a perfect season for it, that we need to be pointed back to the signs all around us, back to those things that are happening right here that are already indicators that the kingdom of heaven is breaking in. And that is also the moment for us to recommit to bearing fruit in the world and to continue being and to evermore become greater parts of God's remaking and mending of everything that is broken. The proof of the reality of God's values in your life will be in the ways in which you act to help bring those things to being in a world that so desperately needs to hear and see good news. And as others look at this assembly, and as they look at your life, my prayer is that they will see the kingdom of heaven and how it is being realized here among us. My prayer is that they will know by our loving actions that what we proclaim is real. The proof of the pudding, dear sisters and brothers, is in the eating. Pray with me. O God, you who lift up those who are bowed down and cast the mighty from their thrones, you who feed the hungry and send the rich away empty, give us hearts that burn with passion for your values. And give us the power of your Spirit that we might daily be transformed, so that we might bear good fruit, fruit that will last, the fruit of your kingdom of justice and peace. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.